Well, good morning, everybody. This is Bob Elson, and we're set as usual for our Sunday morning show in our new Loop location at 72 East Randolph, which, by the way, has turned out to be a marvelous location for Northwest Federal. A lot of business, a lot of new friends here, and you're invited to come in, stop in anytime. Just look around and visit all the personnel here for Northwest Federal at our wonderful new location at 72 East Randolph. Well, as you know, and we've all been waiting for it, this is Super Bowl day, and they say they're going to have a viewing audience of some 80 to 85 million today watching that game. People ask me, I'm no authority on football, but I like Dallas to beat Denver today. I just think Dallas has been there before, and I think they have marvelous personnel. And Roger Staubach, who graduated from Annapolis, won the Heisman Trophy, is a master architect at playing quarterback. This guy is really something, and they have a great defense and a great offense as well. It should be a wonderful football game anyway, and Denver's had a tremendous year. They've had everything going great for them for the last 3 or 4 months, and I just figured that in this game today that Dallas is going to win it. A couple of notes of sadness, the death of Senator Humphrey, who I had the pleasure of interviewing a number of years ago on my Pump Room show, and also the death of perhaps baseball's greatest manager, Joe McCarthy. He was a wonderful, wonderful man. I had the pleasure of visiting him in Buffalo about 3 months ago. I had a speaking engagement in Buffalo, and I made it a point to visit Joe, and at that time he was feeling well. He was 90 years of age. As you know, he managed the Cubs a long time ago, and the greatest mistake the Cubs ever made was firing Joe McCarthy. He went on to win pennant and pennant and pennant and world titles and everything else. He was a great man, and everyone will miss him. Our guest today, speaking of the Cubs, is going to be one of my very, very close friends in baseball, Ernie Banks, one of the great all-time Cubs, a great hitter, a great personality, a guy with a lot of drive. He makes a lot of friends for the Cubs, and we're looking forward to talking with Ernie, and he'll be with us here today in just about 1 minute. Say, is your bank open when you're busy and closed when you're not? Well, Northwest Federal Savings knows that a good place to save is ready for you whenever you're ready, and ready to offer savers the kind of services you can get with the Northwest card. A special feature available to savers who maintain a $500 balance. Here's what you get. Traveler's checks, special occasion checks, registered checks, all with no service charge. Need document, photocopies, or lamination? Well, it's free with the Northwest card. There's a special quick check cashing ID card with your picture. Even special vacations for Northwest card members. So get a world of the services you need often by getting a Northwest card. At any of 6 convenient Northwest Federal Savings Centers throughout Chicagoland, including our new downtown location. That's right here where we are at 72 East Randolph. You can't miss it. On Randolph, right around the corner from Michigan Avenue, and it's a great new location for our company. Be part of a special group and be a special person at Northwest Federal anytime, because Northwest Federal Savings keeps the best hours yours. Our guest today is Ernie Banks, a great hitter with the Cubs, a great all-around ball player, and the late Phil Wrigley's favorite player. And you know, Ernie, that must be something as you look back on your career that you were so well-liked by Phil Wrigley. Are a very, very discerning gentleman as he was, and one of my favorite people, must make you feel pretty good.
It certainly does, Bob. I feel that those of us in athletics, when we have an owner or general manager who is behind us and give us an opportunity to play and express our abilities on the field and off the field, it's certainly a wonderful blessing. I was very fortunate to have joined the Cubs in the early 50s and play for a man who really enjoyed baseball. He enjoyed the game being played in the daytime, and to me, it was a wonderful blessing.
Well, it certainly was. And now he is succeeded by his son, Bill Wrigley, who's been very close to his father and close to the game over these years, and I think he'll take as much of an interest in it as his father did.
He certainly will. Bill, to me, is a man who really enjoys the game of baseball. He loves the fans, and that's the total philosophy of the Cub organization, is to think about the fans with the day games and sunshine and the vines, and keeping it at a price where people can come from all walks of life, male and female, young children, seniors and all. And it's something that Bill really enjoys, and I know that all of us who play and associated with the Cubs are very fortunate to be with a great organization like the Chicago Cubs.
Ernie, as a member of the new member of the board of directors, what will that entail?
Well, not really a whole lot. It's just a great honor to be a member of the Chicago Cubs board of directors. There are seven people on that board. And what we do is we have meetings and go over the various stock options. We also kind of watch the ball club as far as its soundness, as far as financial pitcher. And Bill Wrigley, of course, takes care of all of that. But it's just a great honor to be elected to the board of Chicago Cubs. Not many players who have been involved in athletics professionally have an opportunity to serve on the board of the team that they played for. So it is a great honor, and I'm very happy and pleased to be a member of the board of directors of the Chicago Cubs.
Well, now as you serve in a dual capacity with the Cubs, a member of the board of directors, and you also work in the area of group ticket sales, and we try to give all of our business at Northwest Federal to you personally.
Well, you certainly do, and we really appreciate it, because when we have a lot of the customers from Northwest Federal to come out to Wrigley Field, it's good to be with them, to sit in the stands and talk to them. It's good to have them go on the field and meet our players and take pictures with our players. It's actually establishing a good, fine relationship. And to me, to be associated with Northwest Federal and, of course, the Chicago Cubs, it's a good team, and we're very happy to see the people come out to Wrigley Field.
Ernie, now let's get down to the nub of things that I really like to get your opinion on. I don't know of any ball player who has been in their time of playing or after their career was over who is more dedicated to the game than you are. You're now a member of the board of directors of the Chicago Cubs. As you look back on your own playing days and all that baseball has been through, are you concerned about what is happening to baseball today? Are you concerned about its future?
Well, I am concerned about it because of the things that have came up so rapidly in our game. For instance, the free agent draft has certainly made a big difference, a fast change with our personnel, with management and managers of ball clubs, and I am deeply concerned about it. But overall, as we all know, baseball is priceless and ageless. It's a game that will continue to grow. It's a game where you can grow old with and grow old up with. So it's a game that's going to continue regardless of what's happening to us now. It's a part of our American way of life, and believe me, I'm just so happy to have been a part of it.
Ernie, I'm afraid with the new salary structure that's going on in the big leagues and so many players being so drastically overpaid, I just can't see any common sense to it at all, that there's a day of reckoning ahead. There are clubs that are in trouble already. San Francisco's in serious trouble. Oakland didn't draw 500,000 people. The rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer. There's got to be a day of reckoning ahead for baseball. And remember, we don't have Judge Landis around anymore. We don't have Babe Ruth around anymore to save it. What's going to happen? Why in heaven's name is a major league ball player worth four times more a year than the President of the United States when he's one of nine men that have to be out on the field at the same time? Now, remember, he's not Jack Nicklaus doing it alone. He's not Anthony the Bowler doing it alone. He's one of nine men on the team at the same time. Why is a ball player worth $3 million for 5 years? This to me is absolutely asinine.
Well, Bob, the only way I can see it is that, you know, we're living in the modern world. Things are changing every minute. And you'll find that in our society there are many people who are involved in many types of professions that are receiving large sums of money. But to me, the way I look at it is it's not the salaries that you pay people. It's what they can do for you, what you can get out of them. And as a former player, I naturally feel that these players certainly can attract the fans. They give us worldwide attention, our game, that is. And when we play in the World Series, naturally there's a lot of people watching all the time. So I do feel that the players are beginning to give back a lot more. Our own ball club with Dave Kingman and Bobby Mercer, these men are going on a caravan with us to help promote baseball and help sell tickets for us. So I believe that the players today are beginning to contribute more and give back to baseball what they have gotten out of it.
Well, what about the teams that I refer to as the have-nots? Now, Minnesota lost Heisel and they lost Bostock. Who's going to pay a lot of money to see Bostock play the outfield? Anybody?
Well, I think the California Angels are certainly beginning to draw in that area. They have good fans. The people are certainly like to see a club that is going to win. They like to see players that are good hitters, that make good contact, and Lyman Bostock is that type of hitter.
All right, wouldn't you say that $150,000, $175,000 a year is a lot of money?
Well, I don't think it's a lot of money today. I think a few years ago it was a lot of money, but I think $150,000, I don't have it, and I never had $150,000, but I think the way today is going, it's really not a lot of money, and players, as long as they can give back something to the game, it's worth it.
But wouldn't they give back just as much to the game for $200,000 as they would for $600,000?
Well, yes, but I think that players right now think more of an extended career and their future, and what they do is try to get good contracts when they have the ability. Before, I think when we started, it was just baseball was all of it. It was a whole life, a whole career, and when we got out of it, we had to start all over again. But the players today are thinking about their future and their security.
Ernie, you also came up at a time where the major leagues had a natural feeder in that they had the American Association, they had the Pacific Coast League, they had the Eastern League, they had the Southern Association. These were a natural point of education for the young ball player who had the ability eventually to make the big leagues. What's happening today in the absence of that kind of a structure?
Well, it has changed quite a bit and extremely rapidly. I would say that we have less minor league teams and more major league teams. Before, when I came along, we had a lot of minor league teams and a few major league clubs.
How did you come along? Where did you start?
I started with the Kansas City Monarchs, and then I came to the Cubs in 1953. And, of course, you know, it was the 8-team league in the National League, 8-team league in the American League. So, and then we had 12 or 15 minor league clubs, but it has reversed very rapidly. And I've worked with kids in the minor leagues, and they, too, are very, very discouraged about the fact that there's not many teams in the minors where they can develop and get to the majors faster. So it has changed the picture in the minor leagues. It really hurt a lot of the kids there.
Our guest today is Ernie Banks, one of the all-time great Cubs. And we'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him here at our new location, in the Loop for Northwest Federal. It's a great location at 72 East Randolph. Stop in anytime and get acquainted with the nice people here on our staff. This has turned out to be a wonderful location for our company. We're absolutely delighted with it. Ernie, how do you like? You've been out to most of our place. How do you like our new location?
I really like it, Bob. It's a real good location. It's convenient for the customers. And believe me, it's only about 2.5 miles from beautiful Wrigley Field.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. And also remember this. We have a wonderful new slogan since we came down here. The advent of Northwest Federal into the Loop here on Randolph Street is the end of Loop bankers' hours. No more of that 9-to-3 routine. We're open all the time here.
Well, that's a good advantage for all the customers in the area here, and I'm very happy to be here and happy to be on the show with you.
Thank you, Ernie. Ernie, looking ahead now to next year, the Cubs did make a good deal. Bringing Kingman here should be a tremendous attraction. And I'd look for him to hit a few over those apartment buildings over there on behind the left field wall.
Well, I predict that Dave Kingman could hit at least 45 home runs in 1978 for the Chicago Cubs.
Well, that'll add put a lot of people in that ballpark.
Well, actually, it would, and also we would win a lot of games. He's that type of player. He's from this area. And I know he's going to be excited about playing at Wrigley Field. It's a type of park that's geared for his style of hitting. He's a right-hand hitter, and the wind blows out part of the time, not all the time at Wrigley Field. But he's a strong hitter, and when he hits the ball in the air, it's certainly going out of the ballpark. So it'll create a lot of attention for us here in Chicago. And I think with him coming on the scene, possibly we could change the name of the John Hancock building to the Kingman Center because he'll be the top player in Chicago.
That's a thoughtful one. Tell us this, and all baseball fans are interested in this, I'm sure, and what your answer is going to be. Are great hitters born or are they developed?
They're really born. The quickness, the hand-eye coordination, the leg movement, the rhythm, all that is pretty much you're born with. And I think there's certain hitters that can develop better techniques to increase their averages, but basically you have to have the natural talent going in.
Ernie, why is it, and I know that you've tried to help a lot of ball players who come up to the Cub organization, why is it that a lot of Cub, not just Cub players, but Major League ball players, hit around 230, 235 for their entire season? What do they lack? Bat control, self-control? What do they lack?
Well, overall, they probably lack the ability to concentrate for good, strong periods. To be a good, successful hitter, you got to be able to concentrate for about 2 hours. I mean, really get in that batter's box and think about nothing but the ball, hitting that ball and thinking about the pitcher on the mound. And when you lose that concentration, it's hard to be consistent, a consistent hitter. And this happens a lot. And the other part is, to maintain consistency as a hitter, you have to be in a good, strong lineup, a lineup that has, that complements each other. For instance, the Cincinnati Reds have a good batting order. The New York Yankees had a batting order that complements each other with Reggie and Nettles and Thurman Munson and all that. That helps you develop into a good, strong, solid hitter.
Well, you mentioned the New York Yankees. They look awfully strong now with the addition of a couple more pitchers to that staff. I was talking with one of the Boston baseball writers here the other day. He still thinks that the Boston Red Sox are going to be right in there and battling them right down to the wire.
They can. They have a great hitting attack, and seems to me that the big theme in 1978 is offense. I think teams who have good, strong hitters, hitters that can make good contact, plus one or two hitters in the lineup that can hit home runs, are certainly going to be in contention all year. Before, it was all you had to have one or two good pitchers, and you had to have two or three good relief pitchers. But today seemed to be the theme for Major League Baseball, and being successful is offensive team.
I mentioned, you heard me mention at the beginning of the show, the death of Joe McCarthy, one of the greatest managers that ever lived. Did you ever meet Joe?
No, I didn't have a chance to meet him. I read a lot about him as a Cub manager, and he certainly contributed a lot to our success, and we won a lot of pennants on his leadership, and there have been many players that I've talked to that played for him. For instance, Charlie Graham, who knew him extremely well, said he was the top manager of all time.
He really was. You know, he put those rules in with the Yankees that a player, had, when he went to the dining room, had to wear a necktie. He had to leave a minimum of a 50-cent tip. He had to give the maid, when they checked out, at least a dollar for every day he had been there. And you know that a baseball side of Joe McCarthy, I knew him well. In fact, I got mixed up in an affair here in Chicago that caused quite a bit of consternation. You remember the Jake Powell case?
No, I don't remember that.
Well, Jake Powell inadvertently made a kind of a slur on the radio on my broadcast, and boy, it just raised all kinds of trouble. But Joe McCarthy had one particular thing in mind during a ball game. When somebody hit a double play ball, you had to make the double play. And when the team would come in and the infielders would come in and they missed the double play, Joe would say, "Boys, that was a double play ball. If you can't make the double play here, you're going to learn to make it in Jersey City."
Well, that's... I know in looking at the players today, when we miss double plays, and I've been involved in missing double plays, and you come in and you know you should have made it, it is a funny kind of feeling, and I think you would like to have a manager or coach say, "Hey, you should have made that double play." But it's a good thing to keep reminding the players that things they should accomplish on the field.
Another rule that McCarthy had was if an outfielder threw to the wrong base. Now, you know, there's a man on second base, a close game. Guy hits a single to right center field. No chance to get the fast man going to the plate, but the outfielder winds up and makes a long throw to the plate, and the hitter then goes to second base. Well, that cost him $100 with Joe McCarthy. Any kind of a throw like that, $100. And that dawned on him.
Well, that'll stop it right away. But I would say, in being with young players in the minor leagues, in the outfield, they do it quite often, and you remind them of it, and it's just hard for them to react to it, to think about throwing the ball down so that the cutoff man can catch it. And they often do it quite a bit, and it is a tough thing for a manager to sit there and watch it, and naturally he gets upset over it.
What kind of a minor league structure do the Cubs have?
Well, we have five teams. We have Wichita, Kansas. That's our AAA club. We have a team in Midland, Texas. That's our AA club. And we have a team in Pompano Beach, Florida. That's our Class A club. We have a team in Bradenton, Florida. That's a rookie league. And another team in Geneva, New York, our rookie team. So we're well balanced. Last year we had a real good year. All our clubs finished either first or second in their division. We developed players that would be in spring training in 1978. And last year we drew extremely well in the minor leagues.
Were any of these clubs able to make money?
Well, didn't make any money. Wichita just broke even. And, of course, we got three players off the club that's going to be in spring training. A young left-handed pitcher named George Riley from Philadelphia. He's got a good chance of making a big league club. And we've got another kid named Steve Rogers from Ohio, a pitcher that looks real good. He got a chance of making the ball club. And, of course, we've got Mike Simber on our ball club now. He was at Wichita. So as long as we can get players to develop to play on a major league club, we feel that we have balanced off.
You know what a great baseball town Chicago is, and you wonder how the Cubs or the Sox could possibly give the city more excitement than they did last year when they were both in first place for a couple of months.
It was a lot of excitement in Chicago baseball in 1977, but I'm convinced that Chicago is a Cub country, right?
Cub country?
Right, Cub country, right?
Right. I guess that's the answer, right? Well, I tell you, the Cubs, I'm glad to see them stay with daytime baseball. I don't think there's anything nicer than go out on a nice summery day and sit at Wrigley Field and talk with you up in the stands and see a ball game.
Well, that's a big advantage for us because when we play day baseball, we become big news for Chicago fans. Over 6 million people can see and watch us every day that we play. So the interest is always good and positive. Our fans are highly educated. Our fans do love us, and it's good to be a part of the Cubs.
You know who the biggest Cub nut in town is? You know the beer man, Lou Terry?
Real well. He's out there quite a bit, and I can remember one incident. I had him out on the field catching some ground balls for me, and that was a tremendous thrill for him. He really and truly loves the Cubs being at Wrigley Field.
Well, I don't care whether you meet him in the Drake Hotel, as I do occasionally for lunch or some other place. That guy's talking with somebody about the Cubs.
He certainly is. He really loves the Cubs, and we're happy to have him there. He brightens our day when he comes out, and, of course, he is always involved in helping the players find apartments and get transportation and helping their wives find their ways around. So he has really been a big asset to the Cub organization.
Ernie Banks, looking at it logically, what are the Cubs' chances this year?
Chances are extremely good. We're in a division that really hasn't strengthened itself. The Pirates got a couple of players. They got that Bert Blylevin from Texas, an outstanding young pitcher. But the rest of the clubs have pretty much stayed the same. The New York Mets, the Montreal Expos are going to be a surprising team in our division. Of course, the Phillies are always good and strong, but they need a little help in their pitching department. We feel that we can be a strong, competitive team in the National League East.
You see that piece in the Tribune the other day that the Phillies have the highest payroll in the major leagues? That surprised me.
Yes, they do. And, well, it's only money, and I'm looking forward to having the Cubs have the highest payroll in 1979.
Well, anyway, the baseball season will be here before you know it. It should be a tremendous year again.
It certainly should. As you know, the White Sox got Bobby Bonds. He's a great asset. Yes, he is. An outstanding player. And they, of course, are rebuilding. They got a good, solid team. They're exciting this year. So we're looking forward to having more excitement in baseball in Chicago.
Well, it certainly should be a great year. You know, this is an important day down here at our new location. What happened to our Vice President, Bob Kaepernick? He's right here. We're going to have a drawing for a 1978 Ford Fairmont. And we have a big barrel-like affair here, right close to where we're broadcasting from. And Ernie Banks is going to pick out a ballot out of here that's been signed. These come from all of our locations. So the one that he picks out is going to win this brand-new automobile. So close your eyes, Ernie, and just go ahead and move them around a little bit and reach in and get the name of the lucky winner. Well, here it is, Bob. Bob Kaepernick is right alongside of me here. Bob?
Okay, Bob. Our winner is an A.G. Voticki, who lives in Park Forest, Illinois.
A.G. Voticki in Park Forest, Illinois. Well, congratulations. I know
I don't think Mr. Votiki or Mrs. Votiki is here, though.
I'm sure he'll be a very, very happy man when he hears that news. Ernie, who do you like in the Super Bowl?
Well, I was born in Dallas, and I'm going to be pulling for the Dallas Cowboys. I feel that they have a well-balanced club, and they have the kind of team that can make the big plays, and I'm going to be pulling for them today.
Well, I think you're going to be pulling for the winner. I like him, too. I had the pleasure of meeting Roger Staubach on a couple occasions. He's a fellow, the same as Bart Starr, the Packers, a real class individual. Besides being a great quarterback, I called him before a real architect out there. Man, he can really plan a football game.
He certainly can. He's well-balanced, and he knows his players. He knows the abilities of the players, and he calls a real smart game. I got a new suggestion, Bob, and I'd like to get your opinion on this for 1978. I'd like to see the Cubs play a series at White Sox Park during the regular season, and I'd like to see the White Sox play a regular series at Wrigley Field during the season. How do you think that would
be? I like that idea. Boy, that really sounds good. That's really a brand new one. I never heard that one before.
And the purpose of it, it would give the fans in the White Sox area a chance to see the Cubs play at night at White Sox Park, and vice versa. It would get a chance for the Cub fans to see the White Sox play at Wrigley Field, and it would, you know, create some a lot of interest. A lot of people talk about how small Wrigley Field is, and it's a home run hitter's ballpark, and the White Sox get a chance to play there, and they talk about the White Sox park being a big park and hard to hit home runs and let our players play over there.
I think it's a terrific idea, and I think Bill Veeck could go for it, and I think that Bill Wrigley would go for it, too. I don't know about the league, but it would seem to me it wouldn't hurt anybody.
Well, it would since we have two teams in the city, and we're probably the last city to have two teams, it would be good to let the people on the south side see us play during the regular season. We used to have those
city series,
but it was a lot of excitement in that. I enjoyed those. And you?
I certainly did. Ernie, I want to tell you how much we appreciate you coming down here today. We've been delighted to have you as a guest. We're happy that you like our new location because you've been to all of them. And you've been a great credit to baseball, and the Cubs can be mighty proud of you. We went to Cooperstown, you know. We saw you get into the Hall of Fame, and we all felt that you deserved it.
Well, thank you very much. That's one thing I really appreciate about being a Cub player and in Chicago is that you and all the good friends at Northwest Federal have seen me when I first joined the Cubs in 53 and then to go to Cooperstown in 1977 to see me there. So I'm very happy and very honored.
Thank you, Ernie. Ernie Banks, one of the all-time great Cubs and a great fellow with it. And now have a nice Sunday, and I hope your favorite team wins the Super Bowl. And now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Sunday at our usual time.